Hello and welcome to the Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective, giving out betting information, betting strategy, and of course, free best bets. Now, to joining me on the line to break down round 13 in the NRL is Jacob once again. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm not that fucking good. I've been waiting for 45 minutes in the cold.
Yeah, listen. All right, I've got a fucking a job.
Honestly, we don't have time to hear your story. I need to get back to work. Look, you told me off air your story already. It wasn't that good. And all I'll say is I'm not lying to your girlfriend if she asks me, all right? Let's get into round 13, mate. Well, actually, first, we've got to talk about the epic last night. How good was it? Personally, I loved every minute of it.
Really, did you? I thought it was an extremely dour affair, and I know it's usually the way with Origins, but honestly, there wasn't many chances. It was kind of just boring. The forwards weren't... I think the main problem was the forwards couldn't get any metres, and so the fourth and fifth tackle options were being played at around halfway, so there weren't that many attacking chances. Honestly, I know this is the way Origins usually are, but it was kind of boring.
Jeez, I don't know, mate. Like, I love the grind. I mean, yeah, we'd love to see some free-flowing attacking flair, but that's never what it's going to be. It's not an all-star game. I was on the edge of my seat. I thought, yeah, it was a constant war of attrition and war for field position and who could use it better. Everybody wants to talk about the referees today. And I really didn't think, I mean, in a close game, there's going to be 50-50 calls. They're going to go one way or the other. But I really don't think you can blame the refs for the result last night. I thought in the main part, they got everything mostly right.
No, I agree with you as well. And you know, that changeover from the scrum where they reviewed it and changed it over, I honestly thought that was the right call. But once again, you know, obviously when you're going for one team over the other and there's some very passionate fans out there, when a call goes against your way, of course you're going to think that, you know, there's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I'll shoot through super quick and just, you know, give me a short response if you need be. The first New South Wales try, forward pass or not?
Yes!
I thought
fuck
it was slightly
forward.
I can live with that one, but I did think it was slightly forward. No one in the commentary box said a word. Come on, pipe up, Batty. Before that, we had a blatant strip from Adam Reynolds, stripping the ball from Friday. That was a momentum killer. It was second tackle on their line. We could have been up 8-0 from there. Instead, we didn't touch the ball again till we were down 4-2. So, you know, decisions go both ways. In the second half, I think,
let me chime in just there. Was that the one where Thaddeus was on the ground and Reynolds just butted the ball out?
Yes.
You don't fucking lose the ball when you're on the ground on your chest and it flies fucking 5 metres to the
exactly.
left.
Exactly. It got raped out.
Quite obviously raped out.
That's it. And that was a massive call, and every call is. And it pisses me off because we have two refs on the field and we have a bunker. But anyway, we go on to the second half. Obviously, the on-field decision to give a try, I was spewing because I've seen this one before. I've seen it happen a million times this season, and I've been saying for years, we don't need the ref to make an on-field call if he's not sure. We have the technology. We have multiple camera angles. We have super slow motion. We have zoom. Let's use all that, and let's just make the best educated, correct call. Not all this weak shit of like, oh, I can't quite overturn. Oh, I can't, you know, we're going to go with the on-field decision because I want to keep my job. I don't want to be seen overturning. So I was sure they were going to give a try because, you know, the nature of it, Morris kind of burrowed in. There were legs everywhere. I just didn't think there'd be a clear angle. And I was sure that the game was going to be given to New South Wales there. And, you know what, mate, common sense prevailed. When I saw the bunker obviously started saying, oh, we haven't seen the ball touch the ground yet. It's held up. We can see here. He was combining angles. He actually got it right, don't you think?
Oh, I 100% think they got it right. But I've seen during the NRL season, in a regular season game, that they've given that a try and they've just said, insufficient evidence, got to go with the on-field ref, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's been actually even more clear tries scored this year, or no tries that were given no try that were shown to be clear. Like, I can think of the clear onside for Roosters scoring the winning try of a Manly and they didn't have the balls to overturn it. So I can definitely see why New South Wales are disappointed, and I can see why we were relieved. And I've got to say, the very next play, a bomb went up, and there was a bit of a bang-bang contested jump ball for it. It was called knock-on against Queensland. I saw it as a knock-on against Queensland. They showed a replay. I still thought it was a knock-on against Queensland, and the bunker overturned that one for us. And I tell you what, like we are one-eyed Queensland supporters, but I will step back from that and say, if I was a New South Wales fan, I would be filthy on that call. That is garbage. The bunker is there to overturn blatant mistakes. The bunker is not there to say they think it grazed Cordner's finger and to overturn a 50-50 call, because there's so many times the bunker misses even more blatant ones than that. And, you know what I mean?
Agree.
Like, yeah, and that did turn the game massively, because we just defended about 12 in a row. There was only, you know, a handful of minutes left. They would have got a fresh set on our line. Instead, it's our ball. So that is the one call. But as we said, we got a couple of, you know, rough ones in the first half. I just want to give massive shout out to Queensland players. I thought the defence was sensational. I thought Smith was so good in his record-breaking game. I thought Matt Scott was unreal. Gillette's tackling. I could go on. We'll talk about some of these players in their respective club games. But one more thing I want to say, and it relates to betting. People overreact. Everyone is now saying, oh, New South Wales needs to axe Reynolds. You know, we need to change our spine. Moylan was shit. Oh, we need to bring this forward in. We need to cut this forward. Daly's got to go. Now, if that Morris try is given a try, the narrative is completely flipped. Everyone will say, oh, Queensland too conservative. Oh, Walter's game plan wasn't good enough. Queensland's getting old. New generation blues. You know what I mean? Like, people create a narrative to support the result. Let's just admit it was a fucking 50-50 game, which we are very glad we won. And one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. Even you go back the last 9 or 10 years of Origin, yeah, we won 9 out of 10 series. A bunch of those series came down to game to a decider that came down to one play. So I think people just kind of over-exaggerate the difference between the sides. The fact is, it's fucking Origin, and it's almost always a 50-50.
Yep, totally agree with you. And that's recency bias, and that's what we preach on the pod, is to not have recency bias, which is what the public does have. And you see a result the week before and you think, oh shit, you know, Queensland's so much better than New South Wales, you know, let's bet on them next game around. And that's what we try and sort of avoid as much as we can.
Yeah, so many times you have a close game and then one team wins and everyone sings the praises of the team that won, and everyone starts, you know, trying to pile shit on the team that lost, and there was one play in it. They were actually super close to each other. In terms of betting, we did lean to Queensland when we knew that Cooper Cronk was in, and we did think it was going to be super close, and you do like having that class and experience, and ultimately it was the difference, because there was another really key play late in that half where New South Wales had the ball on our line, and Reynolds came up with a terrible bomb that just went down Inglis's throat, and I mean, that's the difference between a repeat set or a 7-tackle set to up, and you know, those are the plays, they can't blame the ref for that one, those are the plays that completely swing games, and that the best players have to make.
Origin does here. It's the pressure.
Yeah.
And
didn't you think watching the game, it just seemed so obvious we should have been on the under? I just think, no points in the second half. It just felt, the game just went in the blink of an eye for me. That's why I said I enjoyed it. I wasn't bored like you reckon you were. Because the game just went so quick, it didn't feel like there were any chances for anybody to score.
There weren't many tens.
Quite surprising. I mean, all I'd say would be this, exactly the point you just made about preaching caution. Don't overreact to what you've just seen. Don't go out and jump out and assume that the game two is going to only have 10 combined points. You know what I mean? People might think, oh, you know, these teams are too good defensively. They're not good at attack. That was a bit of an anomaly, having no points in the second half. Obviously, there were a few close calls. We knew it would be low scoring, but the total was the lowest we've seen in any game in years. So,
we stayed
away, but we did say if you like Queensland, take the +1.5, because we knew it was going to come down to the wire.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I mean, the problem was, by the time, we might have been all right playing under 34.5 earlier in the week, but then it comes out that it's raining and you think, oh shit, you know, the under looks good. But by that time it was already 30. And like, the thing is, obviously there was no points in the second half. Like you said, it took them 20 minutes to put some points on the board. And the thing is, you know, that game's one try away, one Queensland try away when they're 6-4 up from opening up. You know, if Queensland's up 8 points, New South Wales starts to try and chase the lead, and throws the ball around a little bit more, you could be looking at a totally different style of game. You know, people that were backing the under did get a little bit lucky in the fact that it stayed within one, you know, a one possession game, where both sides were still relatively cautious. But once one side gets up, you know, 8, 10, 12 points, then the points start to roll in, you know.
And we know better than anyone about points totals staying under and you needing a close game to help you with the total stay under. If you're listening to us for the first time, we break down the games every week, as Alex said at the very beginning. Now, if you did see our 22 grand winning multi, we spoke about that for nearly 10 or 15 minutes in our Origin preview pod, which was released on Tuesday. So if you haven't heard that, we spoke all about the theory behind the multi, why we picked those legs, how it works, the advantages we take. We gave betting 101. It was really good pod for people who want to kind of increase their betting IQ. I think there was a lot of nuggets in there. So go back to our website, go on iTunes and listen to the pod before this, if you haven't already. You got anything else to say? Otherwise, I'm happy to get into round 13.
Nah, mate, let's kick it off. No game tonight, but a Friday night game is the Raiders hosting the Sea Eagles. The Raiders are now laying 6 points and 40.5 the total.
And as you know, I really like the Raiders. I think Sticky's got them a tight group together. I'm not sure whether or not Junior Paulo will be joining the side this week. Tell me if you know. He's obviously been cut from the Eels, and he's a quality front rower. And I've been saying the thing I love about the Raiders is the unheralded guys, the names that are not household names that are in that forward pack that are going so well. I mean, Hodgson, that's fine. He's one of the Dally M contenders. At hooker there, they've got halves that were being heralded as the Origin halves a few weeks ago. That's obviously not the case, but they are still quality in Austin and Caesar. I actually love the outside backs. So I don't really want to go against the green machine down in Canberra, but I will say they're missing two decent players, like two important guys in that 17, which is Edric Lee, the winger, and Sean Fensom, who is the key cog in the back row there. So that gives me caution. Manly, the other thing is Manly's off the bye. Jesus Christ, fucking plover flew by my ear. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, shit. No, I did not. You've got to watch out for the wing, bro.
That could be a sign that people are swooping in, taking the Raiders, because I think this line was about 4 earlier in the week.
You're right.
As I said, we have the Raiders coming off a Sunday game. You know, that's a short turnaround to play Friday. And we have Manly off a bye. Both sides on the edge of the eight. So big game for both teams. I also don't want to take Manly because Tapau's still suspended. And, I mean, he's a fucking monster. So, I kind of think Raiders will win this game. But 6 is not really a cheap price to pay against a Manly side that's pretty fresh and has talent as well.
Yeah, well, you pretty much said it all, mate. And, in this week, sort of around Origin, you need to look at these teams that are, you know, coming off buys and teams that aren't. And it's very difficult for me because I don't think the lines makers or the odds makers take it into account, whether what teams off a buy or not. And I think it's certainly an advantage. I think it's probably worth one or 2 points. The problem is, the Sea Eagles team has just struggled so mightily to put on points recently. And this Raiders team is starting to click. I know they sort of came from behind to beat, a three-quarter strength doggy side last week. But that was still a pretty impressive win. And they can put on points like no other. But this Manly Sea Eagles defence is not actually too bad. So I'm going to stay away from this game. I think if the line's probably about right. I think the Raiders are a better team and they're at home. But I'm not about to lay 6 points with a Manly side that's coming off the bye and is on the fringe of the eight.
Yeah, one more thing I said on Tuesday, we spoke about terminology and we spoke about laying points, getting points, a bit of the jargon that we use. So if you don't understand everything we're saying, that's another reason it's worth listening to that one. And the other thing is we break down every game and we give out a lot of best bets. But sometimes we don't have a best bet on the game. Sometimes we accept that the line is about right and we don't reach for bets, and we only really take them when we really do feel we have a strong advantage, and that's how we're able to win 62% of the time on 50-50 propositions. So as we said there, this is our first impression on the game. We don't have a best bet yet on Friday night. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll keep our ear to the ground for player personnel. You have to wait till Thursday or Friday, probably tomorrow, for our best bet summary where we lock them down. But yeah, just to give you some idea, sometimes the best play is no play.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and the thing is, like we said, you're not getting 2-1 odds. You're getting $1.90. The bookies take out that little bit. That's where they have the edge. But the edge that you have as a punter is that you don't have to play every game. You can pick and choose your spots. And sometimes, like you said, the best players are staying away from a game. And like we say, a good bet made is just as good as a bad bet avoided, pretty much. So, Saturday, we've got the Warriors hosting the Broncos. The Warriors are plus 4.5 points, 41.5 the total.
Yeah, and 4.5 is a pretty good line because I've seen it's come down to 4 in places. And I actually do think New Zealand wins this game. I think it's such a pivotal point in their season. We have to respect them when they play at home at Mount Smart. They're obviously off a bye as well. They're very fresh, not a single Origin player. The line was about 9 or 10 when they played Brisbane in Brisbane in round 3, roughly. And, you know, they hung tough for 60 minutes in that game. I know there's no RTS. But still, as we said, Lola has quite a good deputy in the back, in the fullback position. And actually, other than that, this team's relatively healthy. Let's not forget that Sean Johnson may still be the best player on the field on Saturday. And also, we have 6 players backing up for Brisbane. They've got to fly to New Zealand. So all of these sort of things, I know Brisbane's off a loss and they'll be kind of pissed off and they'll, you know, they'll be smarting. And I do expect them to show up. But I do think that the Warriors are, have enough talent, and I think it's just a kitchen sink game, and I think they win.
This is the bet of the round for me. The Broncos, they had to play last week. Obviously, they lost in a tight one against the Tigers, but then they've had all of their Origin stars play a pretty tiring, brutal game of footy on Wednesday. Now they've got to back up on Saturday and play again, while the Raiders have been absolutely chilling for the last couple of weeks. Obviously had the bye last week. The Warriors. Did I say the Raiders?
Possibly, but yeah, Warriors, yeah.
The Warriors have been chilling for 2 weeks. Not only that, when a team's on the bye and they've got a couple weeks to prepare, but they're not all flying high, they're not all chilling, let me tell you that much. They're a team that has been, smashed from all angles by the media. They're going to come out with something to prove here. And 4.5 at home, I think we have to take the Warriors. That's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, and tell me if you've heard of any Origin players that have been officially scratched yet. I haven't heard of one. Michael Morgan looked to take a bad knock. So my point is, we're saying 6 guys are backing up, but there's no guarantee they all play. Bennett may, in fact, rest 1 or 2 that had a big workload on Wednesday. And also, Andrew McCulloch is out. He got injured again on Friday. So it's not even a full-strength Brisbane.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And just the spot, the situational spot, says the Warriors. It screams the Warriors. Cowboys hosting the Knights. Cowboys laying 20.5 points and 42.5 the total. That could be one of the highest spreads of the year.
What were you about to say about Michael Morgan?
Oh, no, I'm not. I was going to say that surely he won't play this week. I mean, that was a pretty hefty knock. Yet to come out of the game, didn't return. I haven't heard anything in set in stone, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're resting him.
Yeah, and he is a key player. But other than Michael Morgan, let me just go through the Cowboys injury list for you. That's it. That is the injury list. This team nearly could have won down against St. George last week. They are so deep. They are deeper than some girls that our producer Ed Sanity has been with.
Yeah, true. That's pretty deep.
Not by his own doing, but anyway. So now you bring in, I do expect JT will back up because he just has that much heart for the club.
Yep.
Although, you know what, like, they pretty much know they're going to win, so it could almost be smart for them to rest guys, but it almost doesn't matter. They've just got so much more to work with than the poor old Knights, and the Knights got so close on Monday night. Again, we have short turnaround factor, Monday night through to Saturday. So, yes, we have 5 players backing up for the Cows, but it's just going to be such tough sledding for the Knights up in North Queensland. We've had a lot of people messaging us saying, surely you're taking the Knights plus 20, plus 21 and a half, whatever it is, you know, because you have all the Cows backing up and only Gagai for the Knights. But I'll tell you what, I'm not. We've seen the Cows just dismantle sides up there, and, you know, JT's probably played about as many games as the whole Knights side combined, so... They're just so young, and you just wouldn't be surprised if they got belted again.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this one short. I'm not laying 20.5 points with the Cowboys. I'll never, ever, I don't think, lay 20.5 points in my whole betting career. I haven't done it so far. I'm not about to start now. But, yeah, look, you're right. And the thing is, the Knights have got a short turnaround. That's what the difference is. I mean, we like the Warriors in the previous game, and they had the bye. And obviously Broncos had to play last week and had a bunch of Origin players. But the Knights have a short backup as well. They haven't been chilling for the last couple of weeks. So, and on top of that, what a demoralising loss on Monday night. And thank God for me that they lost that one. but they've got to be reeling after that. That's the closest they've come to a win in a long, long time. So I'm not taking the Knights plus 20.5. The line's, you know, honestly, it's probably right. And up there in Townsville, the Cows can just roll sometimes. So I'm just going to sit on the sidelines for this one. There's better bets on the board.
Yeah, we've spoken about the dream crusher factor, but this is more the deflation factor. You are a bad team. You are finding it so hard to get a win. You get so close. I mean, what did they lead by? 18-10.
18-10.
And then you fall short. And then you just think to yourself, Jesus, we couldn't win at home up 18-10 with 15-20 to go. How the fuck are we going to win up in Townsville? You know what I mean? And it's just hard to motivate yourself. And if you don't believe you can win, the score can really blow out sometimes.
Well, that's the thing, and it's like if you can't beat an Eels side that's reeling with all this off-field drama, are you going to beat a full-strength, probably full-strength Cowboy side up in Townsville? Probably not. You might just fold. Storm Panthers. I like this one. Storm hosting the Panthers. Storm are now 2.5-point favourites, 39.5 the total.
We both like this one, and we both know that we should have taken Panthers plus 4.5 or plus 5.5 a week ago. For all the reasons, we try and find value, and one of the key ways you find value is you look through the league and you watch the games and you figure out which teams are better than the public realises. And anyone that's been listening all season knows that we think that Penrith is a sleeper. Penrith could have easily won probably 4 or 5 more games than they have this year. It actually is a side that now is just about fully healthy and is the quality of a top four side. And I believe a real contender. Compare that to the Storm. We think they're frauds. We don't think they're a true contender since they lost Will Chambers and Slater. I think they're extremely well coached. I think they execute well and they pull out wins like the scratch match against the Tigers a few weeks ago. They won in extra time. They're able to pull out close wins, no doubt, but they are not as good as Penrith and we're getting points with Penrith here. So I think we both love it. But obviously there's that the Kronk factor and that is one of the reasons why we're not getting 4.5, we're getting 2.5. But I don't mind. I think they would be crazy to play Kronk here. Did you see his ankle? It was more purple than my...
Don't say it. You don't want to give girls... You don't want to give girls... A, yeah, okay.
Any extra reasons.
But, yeah, you're right. And fuck, we're dumb. We should have played the Panthers plus 4.5, plus 5.5. It was readily available on nearly almost every site, and that was only a few days ago. Then the Kronk news comes out, obviously. But he did play Origin. But let me tell you what. Yeah, everyone saw that ankle, and it is not a normal-looking ankle, let me tell you that much. We've got a very, very good spot here. We've got the Storm coming off a big win 2 weeks ago. Obviously, both teams off byes last week. But we've got the Storm coming off a big win on Monday night, you know, two weeks ago. We've got the Panthers reeling off a shitty loss against the Titans where they shouldn't have lost. We're getting a little bit less line value than we could a few days ago, but let me tell you this much. I think the Panthers win this game outright. You're going to give me 2.5 points. I'm going to take it every day of the week. Storm are off the bye, but, you know, their key players played in the brutal Origin, you know, which is going to be three days ago on the Saturday. The Panthers had nearly no one in the Origin. So I'm taking the Panthers here plus 2.5. I think that's definitely the best bet.
Me. Yeah, with regard to that, I mean, they had Moylan and Mansour, who I thought Mansour had a good game. I thought Moylan looked nervous, but it looked like they both through the game.
Yeah, I didn't think Moylan looked terrible, to be honest with you.
No. He's a talented player, but, I mean, he had some shaky moments under the high ball. But I think they're pissed off a loss. They want to get back to club footy. And you said that Panthers didn't have many in Origin. There were a lot of guys like Bryce Cartwright, Trent Merrin, Peachy, who are all touted for Origin. They've all got a point to prove now, especially with New South Wales having lost, that they should have been there. So you've got that factor as well. And I'm going to throw one more idea at you. If Craig Bellamy is really smart, and I think he is, if he decides to rest Kronk, which surely he should, I would put it at 50-50, but if I had to bet my life, I actually think Kronk's fit. So that makes Penrith plus 2.5 a great bet. Why not sit Smith as well? You know, Cameron Smith, I don't think he will, but he played 80 minutes on Wednesday, and you kind of know you're probably not going to win this week. I actually think Craig Bellamy might know that, and it might be better long-term to sit out Smith. And if he does that, then we've got a guaranteed winner.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if they're going to sit Smith, to be honest with you, but Kronk's certainly a possibility there. And that's probably the reason for the line move from 4.5 to 2.5. It's just that uncertainty around Kronk. But doesn't matter to me whether he plays or whether he doesn't. I think it's a decent line at 2.5.
Yeah, that's it.
you're either getting a good line or a fucking awesome line. So
that's it.
Next up, we've got the Roosters hosting the Tigers. The Roosters are 6.5-point favourites and 36.5 total.
This is an interesting one to me. We've said that the Roosters are a dangerous animal. We've said don't be fooled by their ladder position because they have the troops back. I mean, Boyd Cordner was probably New South Wales' best last night, so he'll be back in the up for the Roosters for sure. And they are treating every game like a must win. But you know what? The Tigers, off that really impressive win on Friday night, which, to be honest with you, as I said on Tuesday, they could have won by more. The Tigers team is also fighting for a top eight spot. They haven't given up on their season yet either. And they are pretty damn healthy. I don't believe Tedesco is in, although, you know, there was some speculation that Tedesco is very close last week. Because when that line moved, the line moved from like 13 to 14 or 12 to 14 against Brisbane, I think it might have been because Tedesco failed his fitness test. But that means that he's close. Farrah should back up, and I thought Farrah was pretty poor last night. Aaron Woods should back up. And this side, they've got exciting outside backs. I mean, those blokes like Simona, Addo Carr, Nofaluma, they're beasts. And the forward pack, Elijah Taylor, who we said we love, he's been man of the match two out of his three games for the Tigers so far. Talk about an underrated guy. He couldn't even get into the Penrith side. So I just think this Tigers team is legit. And as much as the Roosters are decent too, they've got no Kenny Dowell, the line is quite high. I've seen 7.5 for the Tigers. I want to take it.
Yeah, I think the Tigers are the side with plus 6.5. My only concern is, I guess, the Tigers coming off that really, really good win last week. Obviously, they're not off the bye, but they will get a bit of confidence from that one. But the Roosters off a bye as well, and I think that's worth something, especially coming off a loss against the Doggies a couple of weeks back. They'll have some renewed focus over the bye week, so I think that's factored in as well. To be honest with you, I think the Roosters are rightfully favoured by a touch over a converted try. I do like this Tigers side. They're a young side. They can put on points. They're fun to watch. But, you know, 6.5, it's probably too many. You're right. But Roosters,
and there's 7.5 out there too.
Yeah. Roosters coming off a loss, coming off a bye, and the Tigers coming off a big win over the Broncos. I think... I don't know. We can talk about this a little bit more.
Just one more thing. I spoke about the deflating loss and the dream crusher loss. There is the inverse. We call it the springboard win. And you're saying that, you know, they're off a win. But I don't think this team's going to get complacent. I think that's the kind of win that really jolts energy and life into a club. And now those players are turning up to training with confidence. And, yeah, we can make the eight. We went and beat Brisbane in Brisbane without our three best players. Albeit Brisbane was missing players as well. But I really think this could be a springboard-type win where, this team had a lot of turmoil. There was question marks whether the coach had lost the troops earlier in the year. Surely that's not the case now. I think this team is playing with confidence.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. It is probably a confidence-boosting win, but at the same time, you're getting that slightly less line value with the Tigers beating the Broncos last week. I mean, if they lost to the Broncos and they got fucking rolled, this line might be 8.5, you know?
Possibly.
Next up, we've got the Rabbits hosting the Titans. The Rabbits laying 4.5 points and 40.5 the total.
My instinct is to take the Rabbits because we do believe that Titans have been overperforming, playing better than what the talent level that they've got. And when you have a side kind of playing at their peak or above it for a number of weeks, you kind of want to fade them, go against them because they can't really get better. Whereas certainly the Rabbitohs can get better. The Rabbitohs have a few more troops back on board. They've changed up again. They're playing Cody Walker at fullback, Johnson on the wing, Inglis at 5'8". And I'm sure Inglis can move to the centres if Keary comes on. So they're a bit stronger, the Bunnies, but they're still missing John Sutton, George Burgess and Aaron Gray, who are three key contributors. And I look at the Titans, and as much as I've been saying that they're playing above expectations, I'm starting to just think that I misread this team. I just think, actually, that forward pack is legit. I think guys like Bird is playing as well as anybody. McQueen has stepped it up. I'm loving Ryan James's play. I'm loving the front row guys like Ignatius Parsi. They've obviously gained Pete's at hooker, and they have friends there as well. The halves are really stepping up. Ash Taylor's been actually sensational. Tyrone Roberts is underrated. And I don't mind a couple of those outside backs too. They're playing well. So I almost think that the Titans, maybe they're not overrated. I don't know if they're underrated either. They're probably appropriately rated. And ultimately, I'm staying away from this game.
Yeah, I'm staying away as well. I think the Rabbits are probably slightly better than the Titans, to be honest with you, at the moment. The Titans have been putting in some good performance. They have been all year, really. They're just one of those teams that never goes away. Like, against the Panthers a couple of weeks back, like, they were out of that game. They had no business being in that game, let alone winning it. Yet they pull these wins out and they keep these games close. So I'm not laying 4.5 with this Rabbit side that is just so unpredictable. I mean, they started the season off at the Flyer in the first two games, and then they just haven't been the same team since. But I know that there's talent there, and they can put on, you know, a good performance. But, you know, against this Titans team, which I know is going to show up, I'm not laying 4.5 with this Rabbits team. But I'm also not Jesus, have you got another person dying there?
I've got to stop committing crimes.
Yeah, look, I'll keep it simple. I'm not playing this game. 4.5 is too many for the Rabbits team that I just can't trust. But I'm not taking +4.5. It's not enough for me with this Titans team away from home.
Yeah, mate, this Titans team is like our mate Heathy at the Down Under Bar. He just never goes away, and you think, like,
just relentless.
He's not going to find an entrance, but he just keeps coming back, keeps grinding him down, and more often than not, he finds a way to win.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, at the end of the day, it's a numbers game for Heathy, and it's a numbers game for the Titans. I mean, they put in enough good performances, and you'll get, you know, a win here and there. So
they're never discouraged.
Never discouraged, just absolutely relentless. This is probably the game of the round, to be honest with you. Monday night, the Dogs hosting the Sharks. The Dogs, and this game's anywhere from pick 'em to Dogs catching 1.5 points, and the low 36.5, the total.
Yeah, and pick 'em just means the line is essentially zero. Both sides are basically $1.90 each. So for you to win a 50-50 bet, you've just got to pick the winner. So if you did like Cronulla, you probably want them at pick 'em. But if you do like the Bulldogs, you want to try and take that +1 or +1.5, depending on what sites you have. And we do say sign up to as many sites as you can because the lines vary. You mentioned Tigers +6.5 on one site, but I've seen 7.5. So, you know, these 1 points can make the difference, and that's why we do post up links for everybody, as well as all the promos you can take advantage of. And we also like giving out people promos. Okay, it's just started raining, for fuck's sake.
Oh,
I've been out here for so long. But look, I do think the Bulldogs are the side here. Now, when two Sydney sides play each other, I don't really give a lot of credence to home field advantage, but Cronulla's got to travel from the Shire, so the Bulldogs are the home side. It does mean something. Two sides that are playing almost at a top four level, I would say. Bulldogs pretty much full strength. Eastwood is out, but, you know, they haven't had Popowati for a couple of weeks. He comes back in. Josh Morris will be keen to atone for a pretty grim Wednesday night. And the halves, Josh Reynolds, you know, he's going to state his claim again that he should have been there on Wednesday night. So I still like the Dogs, whereas Cronulla, I can't say too many bad things about them. They're probably going to be leading the comp after 13 rounds, to be honest. But I don't think they're as good as the Dogs, so I do like the ability to take 1.5 points in what should be a close game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close, low-scoring game. And obviously, I am going to be going for the Sharkies for sure because I've got that bet from a few weeks back for the Sharkies to be the ladder leaders after round 13. So I either need a Panthers win or a Sharkies win. So, look, I think the line's about right, to be perfectly honest with you. I think the Doggies are a slightly better outfit, to be honest with you. I think they have more talent in their roster. But they've got a lot more players backing up from Origin than the Sharkies do. On top of that, the Dogs had to play last week. The Sharks didn't. Sharks coming off the bye. So I think the line's probably about right. I see a tough game. I see a lot of good D, and I think the total's probably right as well. It's the lowest total of the round, and I think it'll probably be a tight, low-scoring arm wrestle game. And I probably don't have a side at this point in time.
I mean, you say a lot more players from Origin. I think the Dogs have Morris, Clemmer, and Jackson. I think Cronulla had Maloney and Fafita. So it's not that different. And also, they're backing up from a Wednesday to a Monday, so there's less effect of that, you know. It's just almost like a turnaround from any short turnaround in NRL week, although I know Origin is a different animal.
Definitely. But yeah, I think that the bye week certainly means something as well.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And I'm leaning Bulldogs. You're probably thinking that the odds are fair and it is pretty much 50-50. And I agree with you. And I'll just give you a shout-out, mate. Yeah, like, a few weeks ago, you alerted us all and you told me and you said it on the pod that the Sharkies were 7-1 to be the halfway leaders of the comp, to be leading after 13 rounds. And at the time, they were about fourth. They had what looks like an unbeatable Brisbane and Cowboys above them, and the Storm were above them as well. But you looked ahead, you looked at the matchups and realised that, like, Broncos, Cowboys, Storm were all playing each other, and Sharkies had winnable games coming up. And now you're in the box seat. If Penrith beats the Storm, as you said, which we think they will, the Sharkies will be top at the end of Monday night, even if they lose. And if the Storm do pull out a close win, then you still have a 50-50 chance. So it was a great bet. I think a few of our followers got on it as well. So it's just another way we can find advantages and find edges and make money through the NRL season.
Yeah, definitely. And you can't just be looking at the current round, at the most recent round that's coming up. Sometimes you do have to dig a little deeper. And I know that, you know, you do this yourself as well. But look a few rounds ahead, you know, especially in this Origin period, because, you know, you can find bets. And I know you found yourself weeks in advance from Origin, you know, those weeks where, you know, the Broncos, you know, the Cowboys are going to be missing their star players. Sometimes you can get some value on that just looking a few weeks in advance. But there's not many fucking people out there that are betting 6 weeks in advance. So if you can get ahead of the curve there, you can get some good bets down early.
Absolutely. If everyone's hung with us this long, the next thing that's on everyone's mind is when's the next multi. So, look, we're wrapping up this pod right now. But stay tuned tomorrow, so Friday, we'll have another multi for you. And the pressure's going to be on.
Your turn this week.
Yeah, we've won a couple of multis already. And the ones we haven't won in the last 3 weeks have both been really close.
Well,
we were 8-8 a couple of weeks ago until we lost on a Sunday. And as we said, the multi that lost last week that we gave out in the video, it lost only 2 out of 10 legs, and they were both $1.10 or shorter favourites in the AFL and Super Rugby. I mean, we can't fucking trust these guys. We nailed the NRL.
Yeah, and it wasn't like they were all $1.10 legs in the multi. There were a bunch of $1.90 legs in there, and they all won, of course, and the two shortest fucking legs lose. It's always the way. But hang with us. We'll catch another one very soon. We've only given out, like, 6, and we had a 45-1 winner. So, you know, you're up overall if you've played all of those multis.
Exactly. You're up, like, 40 units. So, yeah. We're just finding value where we can, and then you guys do the rest. All right, thanks for listening, guys. Good luck on the weekend. As always, please
Gamble
responsibly.